church. Let's stand up and worship. Give God glory. Because he's worthy. Amen. I feel like we were singing, it's time to go to work again. It's Monday and I don't want to go. We're not singing about going to work, are we? Singing about going home. We should be happy singing about going home. We're going to try again. Y'all want to try again? Let's try again. I think God's going, really? Are they excited to come see me? I just can't tell. Right? Sing it like we mean it. On the court. That our prayers are real, that they're not prayers that we just think we should say. But Father, this morning that we would talk to you like you're really real. You're really a person. You're really God. Someone that we have a relationship with. And Father, I'm glad that you want to have a relationship with us. It makes us different from everything that you put on this earth. I'm glad that you didn't make me a cricket. I'm glad you made me somebody that can have a relationship with you. But if I was a cricket, God, I'd be chirping for you. I'll tell you that. And Father, I raise my voice to you. I raise my voice to you with my brothers and sisters. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. You ready to sing some more? Well, I looked over Jordan, tell me what did I see? Sing it. Sermon. Come on down.
Hey guys. Good to see everybody. Got some more coming. All right, get everything together here. Hey guys. All right. Hey guys. All right, sit right there. We're going to go right there. Sit right there, Drew. Very good. Okay, here comes some more. Okay, I think this is everybody. Hey, Joshua, can you come sit out here so I can see you? Thank you. Hi, how are you? Good to see y'all. Y'all excited to be here today?
Yeah.
All right. How many of you enjoyed the rain this week? Did anybody get splashed into the puddles? Yeah, you made a mud cake?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, good. We are so thankful that God sent the rain. Very good. Okay. All right. Thank you, Drew. Well, we enjoyed the rain and God sent the rain and watered the earth. And we're very thankful for that, right? So I have a question for you this morning. It says, do you have people around you that ask you to do things?
Yes.
Who ask you to do things?
My family.
Your family. Who else asks you to do things? Only your brother?
My friend.
Your mom and dad, your parents, teachers, grandparents. All kinds of people ask us to do things, right? And who else asks us, Joshua? God does. That's right. So when we are asked to do something, do we always obey? Yes or no? I don't know that we always obey, but that's okay. All right. So, well, I'm going to talk about somebody. God had asked somebody to do a big job. Okay. So we're going to listen, see what kind of job this man had to do. God had a big job for Moses. God needed to ask him. So one day, Moses was out in the wilderness tending his sheep. And do you know what Moses saw out there in the wilderness? What?
A lion or a bear.
Nope, not a lion or a bear. He saw a burning bush. It wasn't burning. It was just all these flames around the burning bush. Do you think God got Moses' attention out there in the wilderness? If you saw a burning bush like that, would you stop and take notice?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's right. So Moses went over to that bush and he stopped. And you know what he heard? He heard a voice coming from that bush. Would that be exciting? It'd be kind of scary. That's right. But it was God. Just a minute. Okay. It was God speaking to Moses, and God asked Moses to do it. Just a minute. God asked Moses to do a very hard job. He said, go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. Moses wasn't sure that he could do that hard job and do what God asked him to do and obey that. But he knew that he had to trust God. Do we have to trust God?
Yes.
Yes. Do we always trust God?
Yeah.
He had to trust God to show him how to do this, what to say to Pharaoh. And guess what? Moses obeyed, and he went to Pharaoh. And finally, Pharaoh let the people go, didn't he? Yeah, and they went in the wilderness. They went across the Red Sea and into the wilderness. So God used Moses because God had a hard job, and Moses listened, and he obeyed. So does God ask us to do lots of things?
Yes.
He does. That's right. Does God use a burning bush for us? No, but he has something else for us. Do you know what it is?
The Bible.
The Bible. Is this Bible full of things that God asks us to do?
Yeah.
That's right. He asks us to love one another. He said to tell the truth, to obey your parents, to be kind, to tell others about Jesus, to trust him, and so many more things God is asking us to do. You know? So, do we always obey all those things? Yes, okay. You know, God does ask us to do lots of things. And some things, all these things were pretty easy things to do. But sometimes God asks us to do really hard things. But no matter what God asks us to do, should we obey him?
Yes.
Yes. Do you know why we should obey him?
Because he tells us what things we need to do.
That's right. And we can trust him. Because he's going to lead us and guide us and watch over us and be with us no matter what he asks us to do. We might be scared, but in all of that, God is still with us and we can trust him. So listen to God and hear what he has to say and ask you to do. He may ask you to be a friend to someone that doesn't have a friend. He may, and that's kind of hard sometimes to talk to new people, right? He may ask you just to speak to somebody in the store and say hi. Do you ever do that? Is that always easy to do?
No,
it's not. But whatever it is, God will be with you, watch over you, and you can trust him that he is with you always. Okay? And it says in Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I am with you, and God is with you and watching over you. So whatever he asks, trust in him. Okay? Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love us, and I thank you that you are with us and watching over us, and that whenever you ask us to do anything, we can obey you and trust you because you are with us and watching over us. Thank you for all these families and all these boys and girls that are here today. Just bless us as we go to Children's Church. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go this way.
Oh. Well, good morning, church. Great rain this week, wasn't it? Awesome, yeah, yeah. I may have watered my yard for the last time this year. I'm not sure, but anyway. If you would like to register your attendance through the app, you can go ahead and do that at this time. If you don't have our app downloaded, do a search for Wiley Methodist Abilene in your app store, and you'll get a hit on that. Couple of things that's coming up. Visitation for Lane Jackson is tonight from 6 to 8. Is that correct, Jeff? At Hamill Family? Hamill Family. And Lane service is tomorrow at 10 a.m. Man, what a great guy Lane is, continues to be. We were honoring the life of Buddy Parrish the other day, and Jeff made a statement that kind of stuck with me, that we can speak of those who have gone on before us in present tense because they're still alive. And so Lane Jackson continues to be an awesome man of God. So that service is tomorrow at 10 a.m. Next Sunday, the 20th at 9 a.m. in the conference room, and that is located this direction, past the fellowship hall. The conference room is the room by the kitchen. There is a discovery class there if you want to know more about Wiley Methodist and our ministries, and you can meet Pastor Jeff next Sunday at 9. The Operation Christmas Child campaign is winding down for us. The 27th of this month is the dedication day for the shoe boxes that are filled. And those boxes can continue to be filled, but our big push is over on the 27th. October the 6th, we're going to have a church-wide encounter night. That's a Tuesday night. And we've done men's and women's events in the past, and we thought, well, let's just get together as a fellowship and have an encounter night and seek the Lord together. So that's October the 6th. And then instead of our fall festival, we're having a trunk or treat this year on October 31st from 4 to 6 p.m. That is a Saturday evening. So we'll need lots of candy for the kids that are coming for that event. And I think that's all. Let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I want to remind you that word Catholic in that creed, small c, means universal. So this morning, I thought we would spend some time praising the Lord. We spend a lot of time in prayer, which is never a bad thing, but I think, me personally, I probably don't spend as much time praising him as I should. So I just want to give you an opportunity to speak loudly, shout out things that we can praise him for. I don't hear very well. 24 years of sirens blaring in my ear riding down the street in a fire rig has kind of damaged my hearing some. So shout it out, and if I don't hear it, somebody relay that information to me. So what can we praise the Lord about this morning? Our health. Okay?
Fellowship.
Salvation. Love. And you can say amen if you want to after these, if you want to do that. Amen. Salvation, love. What else?
Healing.
Jesus is in the healing business. What else?
Spiritual family.
Fellowship, spiritual family. Okay. Grace and mercy. Pardon me? His word. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Forgiveness.
My goodness. My goodness, without forgiveness, we are all wasting our time. Forgiveness. Pardon me? The rain. Okay, what else? Peace. Did I hear that right?
Provision.
Hope. Either my hearing's improved or you guys are doing a good job of shouting these things out. Pardon me? It's a miracle. Jesus heals, right? So, well, I praise him for his miracles. He's still in a miracle working business, right? What else?
Kindness.
I'm thankful that the Lord is kind, and I'm thankful that he's given us the fruit of the Spirit, which is kindness is one of those fruits. A couple more. Pardon me?
Blessings.
Blessings? Okay. Joy. Another fruit of the Spirit. Do what? Grandkids. All those boys, right, Mike? How many are there?
Nine?
One girl, eight boys. Bless you guys. And bless you guys. What else?
Unity.
A couple more, and then we'll spend time praising the Lord.
Family.
Friendship.
Lost ones come home
to the Lord.
You know, we could probably do this all day, church. But Jeff has a sermon he's prepared, so.
Trust. I'm running out of paper. That's okay.
Well, all right. I think I'm convicted of not praising him as much as I should. I thought about the acronym ACTS that I think Marv Gregory used a month or two back as far as guiding our prayer time. Acts, adoration, you know, then confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So praising him, adoring him is something that we could probably all spend more time doing. So let's go to the Lord, and I just want to encourage you where you're at just to begin to praise him for some of these things or other things that the Holy Spirit might bring to mind. And if it helps you to connect with him, I just want to encourage you maybe just to open your hands up, lay them on your lap. If you want to lift your hands, you know, just feel the freedom to do that. However you need to connect with him, just feel the freedom to do that and connect with him this morning. Just praise him for a little bit.
Oh, Father, we come to you this morning as an imperfect people made perfect through the blood of Christ. And Lord, we praise you for that. We praise you for salvation that's available to us. God, we praise you for sending your Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And we praise you for all the fruit that he so desires to flow through us. Lord, we praise you for our health, for salvation, for fellowship, for love, healing, grace, and mercy. We praise you for your word, Lord. God, we praise you for forgiveness, for the rain, for peace, provision, and hope. Lord, we praise you that you're still a miracle-working God. Praise you for all the blessings in our lives, Lord. Praise you for our family, the kids and grandkids, and parents and grandparents. We praise you for the unity of the Holy Spirit that you so desperately want to develop in the churches, Lord. Help us to surrender to that. Oh, Father, you're worthy of all of our praise. And Lord, I'm grateful for all of eternity. We have the incredible privilege of praising you. And Lord, just stir our hearts about that on this side of eternity. Lord, I just thank you for saving Herman Carroll. Thank you for allowing us to celebrate that baptism this morning, celebrate that new life this morning. Praise you for your love for us that chases us now. Oh God, you're so, so good, and we praise you for your goodness. Father, thank you for opportunities to pray to you, and Lord, we just lift up, God, the Jackson family, Lord, as they celebrate Lane's life tomorrow. Lord, we're grateful that he's with you. Lord, I just thank you for the life of Buddy Parrish. And Lord, I just pray for that family as well, Lord, for healing for them, for peace for them, for comfort for them. Lord, and we pray for protection against this virus in this house, in our community, in the school systems, in the universities. Lord, just move and protect. Glorify yourself, Lord. God, we thank you so much for this time. And Lord, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen. So as we continue to worship, the offering plates are on the altar. If you'd like to give that fashion, you can also give online or through the app. So bring your offering as we worship.
You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good.
Come on, sing it out.
You make all things work together for my good.
You make,
you make all things work together for my good.
You stay.
You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. The baby pain in the night, the joy comes in the morning. Never fails. I want y'all to sit down for a little bit. We get so busy playing and singing and beating these guitars up. I wonder if y'all can ever hear yourself sing really. I want to do that today. I want you to hear yourself sing to God. If you get so excited in a minute that you have to stand up, I'm sure that's fine. It out. Blessed assurance, Jesus is God. Oh, what a foretaste of glory to God. Your salvation, purchase of God.
Raising my Savior, all the
verse again. Ever sometimes draw a picture and you thought it was going to be a pony and it turns out to be a something else? Sometimes songs go that way too. Last verse again. Perfect submission, bold as that rest. I am my Savior, and at the end, oh, I'm watching and waiting, looking over. This is my story.
Well, good morning. Y'all awake out there? Excellent, excellent. Welcome to our live stream audience as well. You know, as we invite the Holy Spirit, we're not just inviting the Holy Spirit here. We're inviting the Holy Spirit in each and every home that is tuning in and worshiping with us. If you are visiting with us today, we are especially glad that you're here. If you're our guest, we hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. And on our Wiley Methodist app that Billy mentioned earlier, if you're a member or our guest, you can register and let us know you were here. Would love to know, especially our guests. I will be also out at this end of the foyer at the end and would love to meet you. And I've got a free gift for you and get to know you a little bit. So glad everyone is here. Luke chapter 2 today. Luke chapter 2. Now, You are used to hearing this passage today around Christmas time, during the Advent season. But I am reading it today. I'm pretty sure when the Bible was written, when Luke wrote this, I'm pretty sure that it was for all days, any time we wanted to study this word. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you . We trust that you are here with us. We trust that you are in us. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, obviously these are different times, aren't they? Anybody ever been through a year like 2020? Trying times, different times. And in these last several weeks and even the last few months, I have been bringing what I'm hoping is God's Word to these times for us. We have dealt, and you can go to our website, wileymethodist.org, and go to the Sermons tab, and you can review any of these. But we've been dealing with how to love better during this time. We have been dealing with grief and worry and anxiety. We have been talking about how to trust the Lord in uncertain times. We have been talking about how our attitude is our choice, how to have the right attitude, how to be light, light and salt in this hurting world. Today I'm starting a series. I've been trying to sense, and I've actually asked a few folks, just kind of, where do you think the Lord would take us? But I feel very strongly that the Lord wants us to talk about joy, how to be joyful in these times. And so the sermon series is called Joyful, Joyful. Today's message is good news of great joy, good news of great joy. My daughter, I got this from my daughter, Jordan. She doesn't even know I'm going to talk about this, but, This lady, Allison Birch, throw that picture up there. Allison Birch is a hairdresser. She owns a hair salon in Stroud, England. She ran an advertisement asking for a part-time hairstylist. And here's what the ad said this. "This is a busy, friendly, small salon, so only happy, friendly stylists need apply." I think that's a great ad. How many times you go to some place and you're just like, man, this place would do a lot better business if they've just had nice people, if they just treated you nice, if they were just happy. Birch, Allison Birch, she claims that she was told by the job center, which where she ran the ad, that it couldn't run the advertisement recruiting happy stylists because the word is discriminatory towards unhappy people. This, I'm not making this up. What in the world is happening to us? The word, when you say, I only want happy people, that's discriminatory. Even joy becomes a politically correct word that we have to set aside. You know, next week I'm going to talk more about this, but did you know that there's actually a difference between happy and joyful? Did you know that? Happy is, the way I define happy is when all your circumstances are kind of in line and everything's going well and you're happy. Joyful is something that comes from deep down. It comes from another place. It's instead of or in spite of our circumstances, it's joy. So we're going to be talking more about joy today and for the next several weeks. The first thing I want us to look at is from this passage. The good news, the angel is proclaiming good news. The good news provides great joy for all people. So the angels are proclaiming that, hey, I have good news for you. And not just for you, but it's for all people. And this good news is going to result in joy. The angels, to quote verse 10, the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Now, I want you to put that in today's context. If we're truthful, there's a certain amount of anxiety and fear that we're like, what's coming next? For goodness sake. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So this good news provides joy for all the people. It's not, and Billy alluded to it in the prayer time, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. There's the very second word of the fruit of the Spirit. When we have the Spirit of God living inside of us, we should exude the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That doesn't mean we don't have an off day and we can't, you know, have a bad day or bad moment. But by and large, our life, we should be exuding the fruit of the Spirit. If we have the Spirit of God living inside of us, and joy is a piece of that. Now, I tell you that if ever there's a challenge to be joyful, we're walking through those times right now. Like I've said several times in the last few weeks, it's like, man, please don't just sit in front of the tube and watch the news and read the news and get on social media. Please don't do that. I mean, it's one thing to stay informed. We need to be informed. But when we consume that junk over and over and over again, man, it'll suck the joy right out of you. Y'all know my phrase, right? You know I'm not going to go through a sermon series on joy without saying it, right? Come on, somebody say what I'm going to say. Joy sucker. Don't be a joy sucker. It's one of those people when they walk in the room, the joy just sticks to the wall. It's like it repels, like oil and water. It just you walk in and it just moves away from you, the joy. And if you're trying to identify joy suckers in your life and you can't think of anybody, it's probably you. I've said that before. Don't be a joy sucker, man. I mean, it is so easy to get consumed with all that's going on in our world. Many of y'all know me, and I like to act silly, and you know, when we have vacation Bibles, Billy and poor old Billy, I drag Billy into this stuff, you know, and we dress up goofy and do it and embarrass ourselves and all that. Well, it mostly embarrasses him, but man, what I've said before is like, I know it looks like I'm just wanting to be silly, but I want the kids to know that it's fun to be a Christian. It's fun to have Christ in you. And it's people that don't have Jesus shouldn't have all the fun. I bring you good news, the angel said, of great joy for all the people. And if someone is not joyful, then you be joyful for them. Let them see it in you. And so, secondly, not only is this good news that the angels were proclaiming, not only does it provide joy for all people, but the good news is Jesus, our Savior. That He is, by definition, the good news. Don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. The good news is Christ is here. And just because He died and was resurrected and ascended back to heaven doesn't mean He has sent His Spirit. He's here. We walk with Him. He's in us. Jesus said, and He's telling the disciples, He said, I'm leaving. I'm gonna send back to the Father. And they're, of course, they're heartbroken. They're sad. They're scared. And He said, hey, don't be afraid. Don't worry. I'm sending the Counselor. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and He will be with you and He will be in you. Jesus has been born to us. And He is Christ the Lord. Now, we say Jesus Christ, we think that's like His name. No, Jesus' name, Christ, is His title. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus has come. He has saved us. And listen to the way this is worded. In the town of David, a Savior has come to you. So, He's come, He's saved us, and that, my friends, is good news of great joy. Is anybody listening? Steve, is this on? You can hear me out there? He's come, He's saved us, He's the Messiah, He lives in us. That's good news of great joy. And it transcends all of our circumstances, all of this junk. Look it up, it's in the Bible. Junk is in the Bible. All of this junk that's going on around us, He transcends that. He's over that. None of this has surprised Him. He's still on the throne. He's still our Savior. He still loves us. He's still mindful of us. Jesus, and He, you know, I've said this verse so many times, but it's we need to hear it over and over again. Jesus Himself said, in this world you'll have trouble. Why does this surprise us when we have trouble? I'm doing, as Billy mentioned, I'm doing two funerals, one yesterday and one tomorrow, but it seems like even, you know, we all know none of us are getting out of this life alive, yes? I mean, none of us are. And yet, when someone passes, it seems like we're always amazed by that. It's like, wow, how'd that happen? Jesus said, you're going to have trouble. This world is like dust in the wind. It's fleeting. In this world, you will have trouble, but He goes on to say, I've overcome the world. Thirdly, the good news, not only should it provide great joy and be for all people, and not only is it Jesus, but it should transform us. This good news of great joy should transform us. Notice, now this is important. I want you to really, really wake up. If you're asleep, wake up. Listen. When the shepherds had seen Him, now they had heard the proclamation from the angels, a Savior's been born to you, Christ the Lord, He's in Bethlehem, go see Him. But then they came and they met Him. What they had heard turned into action. They had seen Him. As soon as the shepherds saw Him, they spread the word. Has anybody else met Jesus? Have you met Jesus? Have you met Jesus? Their immediate response was to spread the word. Something happened to the shepherds. They weren't the same. And then in verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. So it's one thing to, you know, I've said this before too, but you can, you know, you can go to church, you can do all, lots of good stuff, work at the food pantry and build houses and do all these different things that are great and wonderful. But if you don't know Jesus, you're just a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal. We need Jesus. It's one thing, going to church, it's like, I mean, it can be like standing in a garage. It doesn't make you a car. You need to know Jesus. He changes everything. When the shepherds had seen him, when they had encountered him, they spread the word and they glorified and praised God. Something changed in them. And do you think the shepherds were ever the same again? I bet they weren't. So I guess my question to us this morning, have you encountered him? I mean, have you encountered him? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus, the good news that brings great joy, the Christ, the Savior? Have you encountered him? Do you know him? In just a little while, Herman, raise your hand, Herman. Herman, I don't want to embarrass you, but you're fixing to get wet anyway, so it doesn't matter. Last week, Herman came and visited our church for the first time. Now, Xavier, right? Xavier, his friend's been witnessing to him for a long time, right? How many?
30 years.
Only 30? It only took Herman 30 years. Hey, brother, you got there. Herman accepted Christ last week. Yes, yes. And we're going to baptize Herman at the end of the service here in just a moment. Do you know him? Are you just standing in a garage hoping you turn into a car? And so if you do know him, I guess my last question is this. If you know him, if you've encountered him, does the good news of Jesus Christ, your Savior, bring you joy?
Yeah.
I mean, is it joy, like deep down, not like, okay, everything else is chaotic and crazy. Maybe we're not always running around, this is having, but joy, deep down. Joy, it's like no matter what happens, I know I'm loved by the King. And I can weather all those other storms. I pray that you do. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, please don't leave this place today without talking to me. You may not love him, but he loves you. I guarantee you he loves you. This good news of great joy is for all the people. Did you know that it's even for the people that rejecting? Did you know he hung on a cross for a lot of people that'll never receive that, never accept it, never don't want it, don't even believe that he exists? Did you know he hung on a cross for them? I have to remind myself of that when I see people on the news or something and they're saying crazy things and doing crazy things. I'm like, Jesus hung on a cross for them too. I may have trouble loving them, but Jesus doesn't. He loves each one of us. You just bow your head with me this morning. Father, we give you thanks and praise and glory and honor for the good news of great joy that is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, well up your spirit of joy in us. May we be a beacon to really, if we're honest, an angry world. Where it seems like everywhere we turn, we see somebody that's upset and angry that needs Jesus. Help us be the light that leads them to you. Show us how. Convict us to walk it out. as the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God and spreading the word. Show us how to do that. Sometimes it's not even with words. Sometimes it's just about how we respond. Let us be that kind of vessels for you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to go ahead, Herman. Please stay, if you would, at the end of this closing song. We're going to baptize Herman, and we want to rejoice and celebrate that together. If you would rise, if you're able, as we close. Xavier and friends of Herman that he has met Y'all come up. Herman, come on out, buddy. You'll stand right there for just a moment. All right. And there's a camera over here, so y'all aren't blocking anything. Go right ahead. Okay. Herman, I'm pumped.
I'm pumped.
Yeah, me too, buddy. It's so exciting. I got your email last week about what God had done in your heart last week at church. It's so awesome. So we've talked since then, and so I ask you these questions before we baptize you. Do you repent of your sin?
Yes.
And do you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. And you wish to be baptized in that faith?
Yes.
Amen. If you will sit right there and hold your nose so you don't get a brain full of water. Herman, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. Stay right there. That's for you, and the angels are doing it too, buddy. It says, that's what the word says. Yeah. So one of the things we talked about, Herman, was that when you accept Christ, when you receive baptism, you're also inviting the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. And so I want to pray that that Holy Spirit will come and fill you. If y'all can gather around, if you can get a hand on him or a hand on the shoulder in front of you, let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you hung on a cross for Herman Carroll. Father, I thank you that he has said, we don't care if it took 30 years, God. We're glad that he has said yes Amen. To you. And we just ask you to fill him from top of his head to the tip of his toes with your Holy Spirit. May this, we drive a stake in the ground and we say, this is a new day. He is a child of the King. And we pray that he would go forth and he would be a powerful instrument for you and for your kingdom. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And Herman has also wants to join our church. So Herman, I ask you as you come into this fellowship, will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness?
Of course.
Yes. Of course. Amen. I love it. Church, go and be joyful. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Oh, what a song to sing.
Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message of God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus Himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. The book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.